to the Reformed Coffee Shop. I am your host, Dave McDowell. It is March 30th, 2005, and we are continuing our look at 1 Corinthians, and we are in 1 Corinthians 7, and we'll continue the conversation we were having yesterday. Again, this was pre-recorded a while back, so I apologize for any audio issues, but there haven't been any lately. So here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 was basically to make sure that either party was not cheating on the other one. If something happened, let's say for instance the female got pregnant during the espousal period, she would be put to death. She would literally be stoned, because it was considered adultery, considered fornication, and you were stoned for that in biblical times. The other issue was if for whatever reason during this espousal period that the two parties decided not to get together, there would have to be written a certificate of divorce. And I believe that in that espousal period, the only good way for there to be, or the only acceptable way, that Jesus was saying, it was during the espousal period, was for fornication. Because he does use the word fornication, he doesn't use the word adultery. And those are two different Greek words. Fornication is sex before marriage. Adultery is extramarital sex. So he does use the word fornication, which actually believes us to think that he was talking about that espousal period. Now, I stress that that is my own opinion. I have one particular friend of mine who was a real hard determinist on this, and believes that we should administer church discipline to those who are divorced, if they divorce for a case, for any case. Personally, I don't really see that in Scripture. I believe, like I said, I'm not a hard determinist. If someone has their spouse cheat on them, and they're not seeking reconciliation, I think that is a big telltale sign right there. It's not a get out of jail free card. You know, if your spouse cheats on you, you don't just say, "I want nothing more to do with you. Get out of my sight." You should have at the heart of your concern for them reconciliation, and if not, you really need to be checking out where you are with God. That's my firm belief. If you decide to divorce that person, you need to. I mean, that actually is one of those gray areas that I kind of leave between you and God. Now, in addition to what Jesus said, there are things that Paul said. And one of the things that he said was, if she does separate from her husband, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband. In my firm opinion, if a person is divorced, and the spouse that they divorced is not remarried, they are not free to get remarried. They must remain divorced. This, like I said, is not a get out of jail free card. The purpose of quote unquote divorce is reconciliation. It's not complete separation. So that is the issue with that. And a husband must not divorce his wife. Now, I will say, after I said that there is a passage in Deuteronomy that I have recently discovered that really helped change my attitude toward this. I used to be of the firm opinion that, you know, if a husband and wife divorced, and she's divorced, and he's divorced, and he decides to get remarried to somebody else before she does, she still has to remain unmarried until he divorces or dies. And basically I found a passage in Deuteronomy which I think speaks to that issue and says that the female is free to remarry at that point because he has been quote-unquote defiled. And he is, after he has been defiled, he is, for all practical purposes, the meaning that this passage gives is that he's dead. So at that point, she is free to remarry. Verse 12, see, I told you it might take a while. Verse 12, to the rest I say this, I not the Lord, if any brother has a wife who is not a believer and she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. And what basically that's addressing is believers and unbelievers being married. Paul is saying it is not right for you to divorce your spouse just because him or her is not a believer. And we'll skip down to verse 15 because that pretty much covers that. But if the unbeliever leaves, let him do so. A believing man or woman is not bound in such circumstances. God has called us to live in peace. Now, there is a big controversy in Christendom regarding the words not bound in... Let me get the right one here. The words not bound in such circumstances. Is Paul basically saying the person's free to remarry? Is Paul saying that the person is... they're going to be, you know, they're free to do what they want? What is the not bound pertaining to? And again, that is a big, big controversy in the church. Let me tell you my own personal opinion. Paul, just in the passage above that, was addressing the issue of separation from husband and wife. I don't believe he's talking about being bound to the marriage. I believe he's talking about being bound to the guilt. I think there were a lot of believers that were feeling guilty because their husbands or wives left them because of what they believed. And Paul's saying, you don't need to feel guilty. You know, you're not in any... you did what you could do. You're not bound, you know, to this. That's my own personal opinion, and again, I am in the process of looking at this again myself because I just want to make sure that I have it right and things of that nature. That's my own personal opinion. And really, I based it on the context from above it, so... that's my own, again, my own personal opinion. But there are some people that believe that, you know, he's saying that he's not bound to the marriage. And again, I don't really see that flowing in the light of Scripture. Unless that person gets remarried, then I think that at that point the believer does not become bound. But, yeah, that's what I believe. So, it says, but if the unbeliever leaves, let him do so. A believing man or woman is not bound in such circumstances. God has called us to live in peace. How do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband, etc.? So, nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. That was verse 17. Basically, the crux of chapter 7, that Paul is saying, don't make any rash decisions. You know, we don't necessarily have people circumcised and uncircumcised. He goes down and talk about in the later verses. We don't have a slave that seeks his freedom or vice versa, you know, in a situation like this in Paul's day when there was slavery around. So Paul is saying basically stay in the position that you're in. It would be better for you to do that than to make rash decisions. But again, Paul also gives license for you to make those decisions.